Blog Talk Radio. Plan for Fitness Talk Show. I'm your host, Deborah Vidala, broadcasting from South Florida. It's June 28th, 2015. This is Blog Talk Radio Network, streaming live, bringing listeners topics of discussion nationwide. Tonight's guest is Ed Buckley. He's going to be calling in from Deerfield Beach, Florida. Plan for Fitness continues to bring a message of health and education. Ed is at Battalion 10. In the Lake Worth, West Palm Beach, Florida area. He is a floating operator and driver. He has dedicated 15 years and counting as a firefighter. Ed is already on the air with me. Let me bring him on. Welcome to Plan for Fitness Talk Show.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Ed Buckley. How are you?
I'm doing actually quite good. There's a smile on my face.
Me too. I mean, the energy is very high for me. We haven't met in person yet, and I know I spoke with you and Bobby today. I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you this week. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Buckley is on the air with me. We're both in Palm Beach County, Florida, and tonight I have the privilege to be on the air with him, and thank you for your service in the Armed Forces. You are a Marine. You are an inspiration to me. You're a firefighter. You know, we have a lot to talk about tonight, and the questions are already coming in via Twitter. And the many tuning in, I would like to share your military experience as well as your career with the fire rescue. How do you feel? What's number one in your mind tonight that you'd like to share?
Number one on my mind. I took my son out kayaking and he practiced nabbed his first lobster. That's like pretty much an important thing for me. I know it's not season yet, but we're gearing up for it. He's 9. I could not be more proud of that. But we did let him go.
Yes, it's
a little practice.
Yes, we talked about Logan earlier. You have a 9-year-old son. And part of Plan for Fitness, which I love, I mean, I love the outdoors, and physical activity is fitness. And I like that you're instilling in Logan, you know, that these are fun things to do. But you're very active with him, and that's very nice.
Well, one of my real true loves is the ocean, and not only just the ocean, but rather being in the ocean, under the ocean. You know, the feeling that comes with floating through that, the clarity of the water. And after you've been doing it a while, you just get a sense of peace. And it really is the only place that a really good friend of mine told me one time that it's the only place you will only concentrate on what's going on in the moment. You're not thinking about what happened in the past. You're not thinking about the future. You're right there, right then. And I got to tell you, there's a certain peace that comes with that. And I wanted to
I really love that you shared that. Yes, and it is wellness, you know, and certainly we want to talk about that. And I just really love that you're active with him and it's outside. I was, you know, writing about you today, and you're doing the kayaking, the spearfishing, you're working out, you do the free diving. So it's nice to see, you know, that when you're off, you're doing cool things and you're not just on the couch. It's okay to rest and put your feet up. That's what I asked you today because you just came off a 24-hour shift. Is that correct?
I'm going on shift tomorrow. I came off my 24-hour on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I came
off on Saturday.
Yes.
I worked Friday. I came off Saturday, went and picked him up. We went out on the boat, and so I'm getting ready to go back tomorrow.
Okay. Well, let's definitely talk about the training because I know I had one gentleman write me, and I think some people aren't aware that, you know, isn't a dually trained to be an EMT, paramedic, firefighter now, Ed?
Yes. I mean, Palm Beach County Fire Rescue hires firefighter EMTs, but there's quite a lot of departments around here in Broward and in Palm Beach County that you have to be a firefighter paramedic. Now, the way we do it, you can be a firefighter EMT when we hire you, but you have to become a paramedic. So I think that's a really good thing.
I think it's cool. I think it's very versatile, and you're learning how to save a life. I mean, I just think it's totally beneficial. I know somebody that's in school right now, and they're just so excited, and they're like, you know, I'm going to be a firefighter too, even though I'm going to EMT school, you know? And I think it's good to share. I definitely read a lot about you. You started in Broward County at the City of Margate Fire Rescue, and now you're what station are you at?
I floated Battalion 10, which is, I'm a floater. I don't have a station per se, but my battalion, I serve up in the West Palm Beach, Lake Worth area, and I'm a driver. So what it means to be a floating driver is that when any of the guys that have a station that are slotted there as a driver, whenever they have, like, vacation or they can't be there, that I'll float in and fill that spot. There's four of us that do that. But I can go anywhere in the county.
That's wonderful. And, you know, you really have an important job with what you're doing. Again, I have Ed Buckley on the line. He's calling in from Deerfield Beach, Florida. He's a firefighter. He's been, you know, dedicated 15 years in counting. He is a Marine. And I'm just so proud to have you with me on the air tonight. I think some questions are, how long does it take to become a firefighter?
Well, the way I did it, at the time I was married and I couldn't stop work. It took me approximately 2.5 years to get all my certifications just before I was able to start applying to departments. I started in January of 1997 and I finished right around June of 1999. And then I was able to start applying. And that's like I said about Palm Beach County, but I had to go to EMT, paramedic, and then the fire academy. So, like, the one cool thing about the department that I work for is they do hire firefighter EMTs. So you can shave some time off, get working at a professional department, get some experience, and then go through paramedic school and do ride times with the men and women that you serve with. But
that's wonderful information. And also, you know, I was asking you some questions today. I've had the opportunity to interview other gentlemen that are firefighters and first response. And, you know, it's a pretty heavy duty job emotionally and physically, and you respond to structure fires, people searches, and accidents. I mean, what can you take away from, you know, when you leave for the day and you've had to respond to something like that? What's your feelings on that?
As far as responding to, like, really bad incidents
Yes, Ed.
Well, I mean, you just, in the 15 years that I've been a fireman, without wanting to sound like bad or anything, but I've become cynical, very mechanical, very like what I've been trained. As far as like what you take from a bad call, you'll always have those bad calls in your mind. You'll always hear the patients or the victims, whatever they have to say. You'll never forget that. And even though you're doing your best to do your job and to save them, it doesn't always work. And so you're left with that. But at the same token, we have calls that we run on where what we've been trained on, and it does work. So you have that to kind of maybe balance it out. But no, it never really leaves you.
I think it's a good explanation, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely. It is something that you're being so honest, and I'm very grateful for, because we're, you know, I said we're civilians. I am a caregiver. I'm a first responder for a gentleman for 10 years, and we talked today, and I told you my personal experience with the EMTs and the fire rescue and people that are calling. You know, they have loved ones or you know, somebody's hurt, and we need you guys out there. And it is, it's just so important to me and to everybody else that you go out and serve.
Thanks, Deborah. I'll say like this. One of the first really bad calls that I ran when I first got hired, I was working for the city of Margate, probably had less than a year on, and we got responded to a cardiac arrest. And when we showed up at this house, the wife, frantic, bringing us in the back where her husband was laying on a bed. And he was not breathing. He was unresponsive. You know, what I remember from this call is everything was white. It was a white comforter, and they had a white carpet, which was odd because no one really has a white carpet. But they totally had that. And when we lifted him up to get him on the floor, he was in cardiac arrest. You can't do CPR on the bed. You got to get him on a hard surface. Blood spurted out of his mouth. So now I'm left with the image of blood all over the white comforter, blood all over the white floor. But what really sticks in my head is the wife. And she just could not grasp that this was going on because he was just breathing. And that's what she kept saying over and over again. So those are the kind of things that you're left with over the years, and that was like 15 years ago, but I still see it clear as day today.
Wow.
Simple things like that.
Well, and you know what? It's something to share. You know, again, there is a different age brackets. I told a friend of mine today that you were coming on the air, and he's in his 50s. He said, I think this is the greatest, he says, because this show will be archived, and we can share it with others if they're not tuning in right now. What if you're the reason that helps others maybe find their way or explain something, say, hey, this is going to happen, but the rewards are far greater for what you do. You know, I think a lot of it started when you were young. You made a huge commitment going into the service, you know, when you just, you know, you were 17, 18 years old. And we did talk about your in-between with the bartending. That was kind of funny because you really had just such a disciplined career life. And when you when you left the Marines and did the bartending, do you want to share a little bit about that? Was it like footloose and fancy free?
Oh, no. Actually, when I first got out of the Marines, I really had no idea what to do. I mean, I was a reconnaissance Marine. I don't know of, at that time at my age, I didn't know of any, you know, practical job applications for that. But I did have one of the guys that I was in the Marines with. He was from Fort Lauderdale, and he had gotten a hold of me, and he told me to move down to Orlando. At the time, I was up in Massachusetts. So I spent like 3 weeks up there, and then I moved down to Orlando. And I loved it. My first 6 months down there, I was landscaping. But then the same friend came to me and he said, hey, there's this club opening up. It's called the Baja Beach Club. They're taking auditions, not even applications. You have to audition. So I went and auditioned. I got hired. And like I tell everybody, I had 4 years in the Marines, and then my 4 years of bartending was like bringing me back into the civilian world. And it was a really
That's
fun
cool.
time.
Like a transition, right?
Yes.
That's so
bringing me
fun.
Back in.
And I loved what we discussed about, after that time, you wanted to get serious and you wanted to get involved with a career, a good job. And that's what led you to the path that you're on. If people are streaming the show live on the slideshow, you'll see pictures of Ed with the fire truck, and I just really love the pictures. What about the one with you and the four gentlemen, the three gentlemen, Ed?
Oh, I would have to see which one.
There's a picture. One? It looks like it's you in the military when you're young. You and three other gentlemen.
Oh, that was towards the end of my career, and what that was is. I tell everybody it's the Micronesian Islands, but to be perfectly honest, I think I'm right, but I might not be. But it's these islands that lead up around in the Guam area, but they lead up to this island called Chuck. And there are these little islands out in the Pacific, 200 meters by 300 meters. They're tiny. I mean, if you think about that. But there's people that are living on them. And at the time, they were having a drought. You're in the middle of the ocean on a tiny island, you're having a drought, no problem. So the humanitarian thing is to bring these people water. So the Seabees for the Navy, the construction guys in the Navy, were commissioned to drive up and offload water onto these islands. And at the time, being a reconnaissance Marine, one of my jobs was to find a way in for the main force to come in and land on a beach. So that's what we did for the Seabees. Because these islands were like atolls in the middle of the ocean. So you had to find a way through the coral so they could land. And it was a wonderful time. I think that was in my last year. And, I mean, just some of the coral and the scenery and the ocean out there in the middle of nowhere where there's no motorized vehicles or anything like that, the clarity, it was just beautiful. And that's where I fell in love with free diving and just diving in the ocean in particular. That's where it really took a hold of me.
That's a wonderful thing to share. I just love the picture, and I went through some more of you at the fire station, and it's pretty exciting stuff you're involved in. And what else do you want to share about the fire station? Because really, when you're getting a call, you're in the station, like I called you were at the station, and I know technically we really couldn't meet it that day. You were on call. I was definitely on call myself, but you can get the call anytime, and you have to go, and you have to jump in the truck and drive, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sure. We could be anywhere, yeah. Publix, wherever. And as soon as the pager or the radio goes off, we're walking towards the truck to go on a call. Yeah.
I talked about this before on the air because isn't the body always kind of like in that alert mode, Ed?
Yes. Yeah, it is. You're just waiting for it. I mean, you may not think about it, but subconsciously, and they even taught us this when we were going through like, paramedic school and even the fire academy, the body's response to stress as well as the body's response, like when you're young or younger in the service, when them toes go off, your body goes into full-blown let's-go mode. But as you get older and you've had time to adapt or get used to it, you don't really go into full-blown, you don't feel it like you did when you were younger, but even though your body's doing the same thing, but you still do the same thing. Toes go off, you stop what you're doing. For my job, I go right to the map board, try to find where we're going, and then go to the trunk and go. And with modern-day technology and dispatch, they're talking to the patient, and they're sending us information. So that kind of helps us get our mind, okay, we're going to this call. Let's start thinking about this. What are we going to do? And that's it.
That's pretty amazing. I definitely, certainly want to recognize each and every firefighter, paramedic, EMT, all the rescue teams out there in our county and all over the world. We know a lot of different people are going to be listening, even from the Northeast, Ed. I'm getting some thumbs up for you and what you've done. And I'm just really excited. I hope that the lieutenant will get to hear the show. And also, let's talk a little bit about Logan again. Did you say that he's possibly interested in following in your footsteps?
Oh, yeah. He wants to be a fireman just like his dad, as he says. He would love to. And I would love to see that. The fire service, both services, public service, police and firemen, are very family-oriented. I see a lot of young men following in their father's or mother's footsteps, or daughters following in their father's or mother's footsteps on both sides, and I think it's a great thing. I love my job, and I really do feel it's just an honor to serve. I've been trained to serve. Mm-hmm. Here's what it is. Here's back to you. Yeah.
That's wonderful. I also want to recognize, Bobby. I know Bobby's probably tuning in. I hope so. And it helps to have someone to come home to, someone that you can kick your feet up the couch with and watch a movie, and just support and love what you do as well. Is that what you're thinking too?
Oh, she's a wonderful girl. It's very hard. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, just being in the service and just dealing with stuff, when I said that I've become very cynical, what I meant was, like when you get your cold. Now you get a cold, a common cold, and it really stinks. A lot of times, I can only speak for myself, but I have a hard time, the medic in me takes over. Okay, you got a cold. Your immune system takes care of that. Whereas what she really needs is me to hold her hand or, do what I'm supposed to do with her, but there's the problem. I have a hard time breaking free from that. So her, it's a wonderful thing because a guy like me really needs a girl like that, that understands, is stubborn, is not just going to run just because I looked at a bruise and said, yeah, you got a bruise.
Yeah, you need
support,
which is what it is. Yeah, and that's part of, why I brought it up. You need support, too. You're on for many hours at a time. You're on alert. But I what I like about you is as you got a positive vibe, there's a light to you. You know about wellness. You take care of yourself. And it's like, be good to yourself. We only have one life. We need to live it and be happy. And I'm just so grateful that you're here with me on the air tonight.
Live it.
Absolutely.
And be happy. And enjoy every moment because you never know when it's going to stop. So what's the sense of going through life miserable? Just enjoy it. I love it. I'm very blessed and I'm very lucky. We live right here next to the ocean. That is my one true love. But I on the same token, I do have a girl that's very into me and we're very much alike. So we enjoy a lot of the same things, a lot of the same music. So, yeah, when I come home from shift, I have someone that I can share my experiences with. And I do. We all need that. I need to off-gas to her sometimes, tell her about calls I ran, get it out of my system. But it's very understanding.
It's very healthy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have to.
And it's nice that you share that. It's, we don't know each other that well, but it's, we got the gist of what's going on here. You're working your tail off. You're committed. You have a dangerous job. That's the bottom line. And you're in a position to save lives. And that's the gift. And I'm just really excited you could come on and share your story tonight. I hope that you had a good time.
Oh, it's great. I don't think I've ever done this before, so I'll chalk this up as a new experience. And
absolutely. Playing for Fitness, streaming live. We're out of Palm Beach County, Florida. You can tune into us nationwide. I have Ed Buckley on the line calling in from Deerfield Beach, Florida. He's a Marine. He's a firefighter. He is setting an example in giving to the community for many years. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the talk show.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
I hope that you will come back and visit us sometime again.
That sounds like a good deal. Call me in 6 months, find out what's going on.
Awesome. Have a wonderful evening. Stand by. We're gonna say goodnight to the listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight to Plan for Fitness Talk Show. We are broadcasting live on Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned for the next episode, Sundays at 6:30 p.m. Good night.